Healthy Mind Matters, where we discuss the important community issues of stronger mental health, emotional wellness, and the growing problem of addiction. Healthy Mind Matters is brought to you by Intermountain Healthcare and Select Health. Here's our host, Maria Chileos, on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Thank you for joining us for Healthy Mind Matters. Today we are talking about grief. With me, Catherine Supiano. She's a professor at the University of Utah College of Nursing and also director of Caring Connections. Professor Supiano, let's take a moment and talk about Caring Connections. What is it you do?
So we have been established since the late 1990s, and we're a small nonprofit located within the College of Nursing, and our mandate is threefold, to provide excellent evidence-based clinical care for grieving people, to educate the community about grief as well as professionals about grief, and then to conduct research to add to the knowledge about grief. So that's our mission. Our signature program are our grief support groups. So we offer grief support groups three times a year. Ours are quite unique. They are eight-week groups. They're time-limited, so these are not drop-in groups. And they're facilitated by trained clinicians, licensed clinicians. So these are not peer support groups. And they're a place for those forms of groups. But most people who benefit from support really also need some navigation. They need the navigation from a trained clinician, and they also need the support of other people with a like experience. So we divide our groups by type of loss. So we have groups for people who've lost a spouse, lost a baby. Our unique groups are our loss by suicide group. We offer several of those at each cycle. And our loss by homicide, as well as now our loss by overdose death, which is, of course, an increasing problem in the state of Utah. We're losing many, many people to death by overdose, as well as to suicide. So we offer those groups, and then twice a year we offer community education programs. We offer a program to help people go through the holidays. And then in the spring we have a large remembrance event to tell people they actually don't have to be over this in 3 days or even in 3 years, that there's always the importance of looking back and remembering with thoughtful, intentional reflection. We train a lot of clinicians. We take students. Of course, we're university-based, so we train doctorate of psychiatric nursing students and masters of social work students in our program, take them as trainees. And then our research effort is pretty important. We have a large grant that we're doing with the state of Utah to train clinicians all around the state in how to address overdose death. I have a grant from the Alzheimer's Association to prepare dementia family caregivers for death. We're implementing our complicated grief group therapy intervention out in clinic, what was called Polizzi Clinic, which is now Impact Clinic, which is the mental health clinic for the uninsured in Utah, and evaluating these programs so that we can add to the evidence about what works for difficult grief and contribute to the greater knowledge to support people in this normal but very, very difficult process.
Who can take advantage of some of your groups?
Everyone can take advantage. So our prior limitation had always been proximity. So we offer groups in Midvale and South Jordan and Ogden and Salt Lake. And this next year, we will be offering groups through telehealth. People who are more than 150 miles from a group or have another reason they can't physically make a group can come in through distance technology.
Right. You mentioned the different specific groups, different kinds of grief. Explain why that's important to have them separate.
It's actually very important, and because grief isn't grief isn't grief. And to lose a baby is a different experience than losing a spouse. Sometimes an adult child will call and say, can I go into my mom's spouse loss group? And we say, no, because that loss includes things like learning to sleep alone and stuff that maybe your mom really doesn't need to talk to her son about, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
suicide is such a unique loss, and because it's so highly stigmatized, that people need to also navigate the social stigma that goes with that disenfranchised, stigmatized form of grief. For many years, we just bundled in people who lost someone to overdose into our suicide group. And 2 years ago, they said, you know, this is really different. And we said, you know, help us design this. And they did. And so that's now a group. This is actually a national model. There aren't programs like this elsewhere yet. And so, again, to study it, to evaluate it, to see if it works, and then to disseminate this is really our responsibility. It's part of the academic mission. So, but to answer your question, the answer to that is anybody. Our groups are extremely low cost, $50 for an 8-week group, including all the materials and a trained grief counselor to guide you. But that said, our donors, we have funding from Larkin Mortuary that underwrites our ability to pay for all the cost of the group. If people have need, we have no means test. If people just say, yeah, this is a hardship for me, we have a place for them.
I will ask you this again at the end to make sure people get the information, but how would people find out more about your program?
You can either just come call into our office, which is 801-585-9522. We're on the university website. People can just Google University of Utah Caring Connections, and they'll get to us.
Okay.
And all of our information about our groups and our programs, all of our past community events are videoed and they're posted there. We have a list of resources for people. Sometimes people say, yeah, I'm not sure a group's ready for me. I'd like to do some reading. We have a list of recommended readings for people and other resources. And again, we may not be the best fit for everybody, but part of our desire is to help people find those resources. And so we're actually eager to help.
You mentioned that your groups are different and that you have set up a model. Mm-hmm. Describe for us what is different about your group.
So one of the things that can happen with drop-in groups is that every time people come to a group, they start at the start. And if new people come, everybody has to start with their story over and over again. And there's not much of a focus on the progress that people are making. And so I won't say we push people through, and I won't even say we nudge people through, but we do lay out a topical roadmap for people because we know the big issues that people have to face. They have to come up with a plan for how they will communicate their grief. How will they talk about the person who died for years to come? We see this with suicide loss. Some people never want to say the death was a suicide. Some people put it right in the obituary from the day one and say, my child died by suicide. So people need those skills. People need more coping skills, because even if you have a couple good coping skills, like running, you can't do that 24 hours a day. And so people learn from each other how to do that. We have a lot of effort on how to navigate people's your feelings and your thoughts. Again, we talked about mastery a little earlier, this idea of going to your grief rather than it coming to you. And it helps really to practice that in an environment where someone knows kind of what they're doing. Those things are really important. We do refer out to the peer support groups from time to time, and they refer people to us. So, for example, if people are done with our suicide loss group, we would be very comfortable saying, you know, gosh, NAMI has a group that's going on, and it's a peer support group. That sounds like a good way for you to keep your good work going. And so we're very collegial with all the other programs. We care about them. We don't have programs for children, so we refer to the Sharing Place and the Bradley Center all the time. That's their gift to the community. We support them in doing that and care about them doing good work, too.
We need to take a break. When we come back, I want to talk about, we've talked about grief as being a normal process, but how do you know when you've gone beyond that and you need some extra help working through that grief? And we'll do that when we come back on Healthy Mind Matters.